what we believe. In our Fundamentals of Faith, it says this document is gladly presented by the Brethren and Messiah as a basic summary of the fundamental faith once delivered to the saints. We urge you to examine the following synopsis of the tenets of our faith and prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And so we have admonition, and we have the Bible that is clearly given at the beginning, and we have it as an instruction manual. Of course, we have an image up that is basically from the Feast of Tabernacles about 6 years ago. And they believed at that time as we believe today. We're not changing our beliefs. We believe as the Word says, as Yahweh's Word says. And the Word says in 2 Timothy 3:14-16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is both Old and New Testaments. We find that it is the manual for our life, the Bible overall. And we understand that this is something that we need in our life. Yes, we need Yahweh's Spirit. We need insight from that. But His Word is a foundational platform for us to study from and to learn from. And so we have the Bible at the forefront of the fundamentals of faith. Foundational for us. No other book has a prophecy and science like the Bible does. Even now we see prophecy in action. Israel talks about, of course, deception, Matthew 24 coming. And, you know, the Bible reveals what we now know today. Jeremiah 33 and verse 22. The host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured. This is very true. In fact, they keep adding to the number that they think even this galaxy is made up of, the heavenly bodies in general. They keep adding to the count of how many galaxies they think there is, how many they think there are. And who knows the end from the beginning? Ezekiel 37:21-22 says, say to them, says Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. Well, this is a prophecy that we, and I think a number of people, see as having started. Israel wasn't available. They weren't around prior to 1948 for a number of years. The language, you know, who knew Hebrew? And yet it was restored. And we have scholarship today teaching us how the Hebrew language should be spoken. And you have a number of people in Israel now that are claiming to be descendants of Isaac through the descendants of the 12 tribes. But we find that Yahweh is still working things out. He's still bringing people to a better understanding of who we are as a people, you know, our Hebrew roots, so to speak, our background, where we came from, what are the promises, and what promises are there through the Messiah today for us. But these things were inspired in Scripture, foretold, and we're in the midst of seeing some of the things. I think in seeing some of the activities today, I think we can see some of the sorrows, maybe the beginning of sorrows that Matthew 24 talks about. In Isaiah 42:8, speaking of the Father, next in line for the fundamentals of faith, I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. He's very adamant on who we are to worship. We're to worship Him. You know, we're to honor Him. were to call upon his name. He says, that is my name, Yahweh. Yahweh is the Father of us all, and his name has been given to us, revealing within it that he has always existed. His name is like a verb of existence, even though it's a proper noun. And it describes that he has been, he will be, that he is. It's important to understand that no man other than the Son of Man, Yahshua, has heard his voice or seen him. He is pure and good. And so we have a mediator that he sent, his Son, a part of him that has created all things. Without him, nothing was created, except he himself was evidently taken from a part of Yahweh's spirit and created. Acts 4:12, speaking of the Son, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And, of course, this fits nicely with scriptures like Joel 2:32. And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of Yahweh will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape. And Yahweh has said, even among the survivors whom Yahweh calls. There's no misunderstanding of the Old Testament and the New, especially when we know Yahshua holds Yahweh's short and poetic form of his name within his Son's name. And a lot of people just reject that out of hand. Well, that's not his name. His name is Yeshua. That means salvation. That's what Jesus means. It means salvation. Well, not even in the Greek does Yeshua mean salvation. Soter in the Greek is salvation. And salvation in English is salvation. I mean, it's a simple fact. But when we look at the history and when we see how the name has been distorted through errors in bringing the pronunciation over, sometimes it's due to the language. A lot of times, you know, there's certain rules within the language that prevents a name from being transliterated properly. In the fundamentals of faith, there's the Holy Spirit, which is very gives us a fundamental understanding of how Yahweh does things. Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua the Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's described as a gift. A lot of people will say, well, that gift is a person. It's separate from Yahweh. But it's a part of Yahweh. It's how he accomplishes his will. It's how Yahshua was able to do fully his will, because he had the fullness of that Spirit within him. And, of course, he walked this earth in submission to the Father. Many think of the Holy Spirit as a separate Elohim, but as simply an extension of Yahweh, who is Spirit. When we think that we can have a portion of, when we think that we can have a portion of Yahweh's strength and mind within us, it behooves us to consider what it means to be holy, and why Yahweh tells us to be holy. Being clean, staying clean, helping others, living by His Word, the Bible. It becomes a part of us as we walk and submit to the Spirit given us, just as Messiah submitted and walked accordingly to the same Holy Spirit doing his Father's will. He didn't sin. We're not to sin. He understood Yahweh's word fully. Now, we're learning. Sometimes we don't always make the right decisions. But it's a growing process. And Yahweh helps us. He gives us understanding and provides, and He is our provider. One of the other things that we find in the fundamentals of faith that we believe is that there needs to be baptism. Matthew 3 and verse 13 through 15, then Yahshua arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him, but John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Yahshua answered him, permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he permitted him. So Yahshua is our example in righteousness. So we follow in his footsteps and are washed by doing so. We put our old self away and look forward to be brought up in the resurrection as spirit beings. But we symbolically are new creatures already by having buried the old man and having a new nature instilled in us. That nature being Yahweh's nature and mind and heart. A portion, albeit, but it's enough to get us going. And it helps us to grow. It keeps us on the straight and narrow path. So it's a help for us. It's a comfort for us to know that we have the help. Now, of course, there are those that, you know, baptize young children. Of course, we don't see that as being correct. And if there are questions about any of these topics, we do have a Bible correspondence course that will be available that goes over each one of these. So even though I'm touching lightly on these, and there's quite a few, we're all able to delve in and go through these line upon line and step by step and at our own leisure. And we, of course, also realize that other scriptures give us the instructions to have hands lay upon us by the elders within the body of Messiah. Acts 8:17 says, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So there's a process, and, you know, studying is a process. We don't get all the information we need out of the book of Revelation or you know, out of the book of Genesis. I was in a bit of a discussion with an individual. He's pointing out some things in the book of Revelation, but there are other scriptures that give us insight. John brought up something in Philippians that caught my attention. We don't need to get into that now, but there are different, you know, being the Old Testament, the New Testament, being one book, it literally is one book. The same mind has created the book overall. So we have understanding throughout the scriptures. Can be like a puzzle that's put together, and you get the overall picture. A little here, a little there, but together it makes sense. Talking about the law, that's uncomfortable for some people, but it's something that we find just basically means instruction. And so that instruction is in the fundamentals of faith. 1 Corinthians 7:19. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is keeping the commandments of Yahweh. But there are going to be those that say, well, wait a minute, circumcision is commandment keeping. It is the law. Well, it takes a bit of study, but it's something that we do not have to do in Messiah today. One would think that circumcision is the law, but it is not for those in Messiah who have the circumcision made without hands. There are laws that we are to obey, but they must all be considered under the Melchizedek order, in which Yahshua is the high priest. Are clean food laws valid for us today in Messiah? Certainly, if you want to be in good health and keep your temple in good shape, there's reasons why Yahweh gives us these things. While we may not always feel the Spirit and may accidentally eat something unclean, the Spirit of Yahweh helps us to think and be in line with His Word. We won't be living contrary to it. We're not going to go and have a pig luau, you know, after services. It's just not right. So we're not doing it. So in looking at all these things, we're living a lifestyle. We're just living the way that Yahweh tells us to live. Basic instructions, it's the fundamentals of faith that we hold to be true. We're not trying to earn our salvation. We understand that that's through the Messiah. There's no question about that. if we ever say, well, you know, we have to work our way into eternal, you know, we're going to work our way into eternal life. Well, you know, just keep in mind that, that we can work our way out of eternal life. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. You know, these instructions are here for our own good. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work. You or your son, your daughter, your male or your female servant, your cattle or your sojourner stays with you. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay, he did this. And he tells us to go ahead and rest on this. Now, did he need rest? Did Joshua, you know, oh, Father, give me a break here. Look at all that's been done, you know. No, they didn't need to rest. But we're told to go ahead and rest. Why? Did Yahweh know it would be good for us? I suspect so, you know. I think we've all had the opportunity to work 7 days a week. It's not pleasurable. It's not good for the body. There's a biorhythm that is set up within us, scientists have found, that indicates we need a day off. So it's just the way that we're made. But it's in keeping with how Yahweh had things planned out from the beginning. And it's a fundamental faith that we teach and hold to be true. We are here today because we keep this commandment. We are told to remember it, to keep it holy. Yet people say we can't keep this or other commandments. You know, they're too hard. Break one, you break them all. Why even try? I mean, that's the attitude that we get sometimes. But is that the truth? Not according to Yahweh's word, who speaks no lies. Yahweh doesn't lie. He says in Deuteronomy 30:11, for this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. What commandment? Is it just a singular commandment? Well, we have to read it in context. The previous verse says in Deuteronomy 30:10, if you obey Yahweh your Elohim to keep his commandments, plural, and his statutes, plural, which are written in the book of the law, if you turn to Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, it's almost like reading out of the New Testament. Because Yahweh doesn't change, and neither does his Son. And so we find similar teachings in the New Testament as we do in the Old. In the New Testament, they're just letters. Basically, we have those put together. What they had was, of course, the Old Testament and the Yahweh's Word. And, of course, we're told to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. In the fundamentals of faith, we do talk about the Passover, Exodus 12 and verse 14. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall keep it as a sacrifice. You know, let's put those in brackets there, to Yahweh. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Now, most translations say the celebrate the feast or the feast celebration, but it's a shag, it's an offering, it's a memorial. And, you know, today we recognize Joshua having died and become a sacrifice for us. And we're told to remember his death. And keeping Passover, we remember that he is our Passover lamb. We take of the emblems that were instituted. And it's done on the 14th of Abib, which is at a specific time. It's not just whenever, though we do this each time it comes about so that we can be in line with what's being taught. Our Feast of Unleavened Bread, Leviticus 23 and verse 6. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. So notice it says, or notice it is to Yahweh that we do this. These things are appointments, times that we're to come before him, times that we find are set apart, made holy by him. Today, the world in general keeps other days that they have set up and, you know, try to make them like they're holy, but really they are not holy. They're just traditions of men. A lot of the stuff has just been taken straight out of paganism. And then there's, of course, 7 days that we're instructed to eat unleavened bread. And I had the opportunity to in my lack of understanding, I kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread at one time without eating a token amount of unleavened bread during the 7 days. Now, it seems like just a minor thing, but when you partake of Passover and the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, the pure grape juice and the unleavened pure bread, then when you take unleavened bread the next day and the day after, you're reminded of what Yahshua did for you. At least I was, because I had not done that. I saw the command and then recognized, well, wait a minute, I should be doing this, and then started doing it and grew and learned more, and it was more meaningful for me because of that. So Yahweh doesn't have these things just, you know, I'm going to work them into the ground. They won't be able to remember all this stuff. No, there's reasons why he has us do these things. We clean out the leaven, symbolic of false teachings, in part out of our homes before this time. But we keep a watchful eye to make sure that we've gotten all of it and that none comes in. And, you know, we can relate that to our daily life and how we are to watch what we teach and make sure that we're not corrupted by some false teaching that isn't in Scripture and that isn't inspired by Yahweh's Spirit. Pentecost, another holy day. Leviticus 23 and 21, on this same day you shall make a proclamation as well. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all of your dwelling places throughout your generations. Well, the instructions are to count 7 complete weeks plus 1 day from the day after the weekly Sabbath, which falls within the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for a total of 50 days, which is what Pentecost means, but the time is actually called the Feast of Weeks. Did you get all that? It's written down, and it takes some time to get it, you know, ingrained in our minds. It takes time to study it out. And, you know, the fundamentals of faith is kind of compact, but it's really packed with a lot of scriptures. So it's a good thing to hand to someone if you know, you're not really comfortable with trying to sit down and explain things to somebody. You might just hand them the literature and say, you know, you can take this and read through it. But now we've got this Bible correspondence course, and people that are really hungry and are desiring the meat of Yahweh's work, they'll be able to go in and go deeper into these areas, these specific areas that we hold to be, you know, really foundational. There's really no question. The weekly Sabbath, of course we're supposed to be here before Yahweh on this day. Passover, of course, yes, we recognize the Messiah is being pointed to in that, and that he is our sacrificial lamb. So we do these things. We even do a foot washing in combination with that. And he tells us if we do it, we'll be blessed. So there's a little detail. It's only found in one area. But if we do it, we'll be blessed. So again, there's a purpose for doing, even if it's a small thing. But we're to learn to be humble. We're learning to be better servants. And as we move in line with Yahweh's Spirit, that'll be manifested in us automatically. It's just Messiah living out his living in us, living his life within us. And so there is more than just studying the word. It's actually living it. And that's something that Yahshua did. So he's a perfect example for us. The law was given at the time of Pentecost on Mount Sinai. And it was on Pentecost in the book of Acts in which the Spirit was first given to stay on earth with the brethren. Imagine not showing up for that. What? I missed the Spirit. Oh, it's given. Well, you know, there's certain things that we have to do. And some look at us and they go, well, why you do all these things? Well, there's reasons. There's reasons why these things should be done. And again, it's not a burden. It's just a way of life, just a lifestyle. We're choosing to do this rather than to go out in the world and live it up in the clubs or, you know, the different lifestyles that people live. And they are living different lifestyles, really contrary to what Yahweh has for his people. Day of Trumpets, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For Yahweh himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead and Messiah will rise first. You know, by that time, it's too late to go, well, maybe I should do some of these things that I understand I should be doing. You know, I can't really get in line with this just yet. And we're told to watch because we don't know exactly when he's going to return. But I think with the things that we're seeing in life today in this world, it's got to be coming close. A resurrection of the saints is promised and is coming with a sound of a trumpet, trumpet blast. And it is the hope that we hold in Messiah Yahshua. 1 Corinthians 15:22-25, this is being read from the New Living Translation. And it says, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Messiah will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Messiah was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Messiah will be raised when he comes back. After that, and having parentheses here, brackets, and a 1,000-year reign of his rulership, figuring other scriptures in here, it says, and the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to Yahweh the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. Now it's important to see here that Yahweh himself will come down after Yahweh establishes the kingdom. This is something that may not be as clear in the book of Revelation, for example, but along with this and maybe another scripture, you get the picture that, you know, Yahweh is not personally coming down and being here on earth in front of people. That's Yahshua's job at this time. And until things are purified, I mean, it talks about a new heaven, a new earth, and a new earth, once it emerges, then Yahweh himself will come down, the Ancient of Days. But symbolically, we also see a relationship of the Day of Trumpets with the tribulation before Yahshua returns and establishes the kingdom of Yahweh. And we see that there are 7 trumpet blasts and revelations concerning the tribulation period, and it is at the end of the trumpet blast, that final blast, the 7th trumpet in which Yahshua returns. That's described there in Revelation. But we have other information besides just what's in Revelation. That is the book of revealing. Now, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16:29-31. This shall be a permanent statute for you. These sound pretty solid, you know, forever. Permanent statute. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall humble your souls, your beings, and not do any work, neither the native or the alien who sojourns with you, for it is this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So with the Day of Atonement, we are to fast, that is, humble our beings, and there's scriptures to back up that very fact. In fact, we're talking no water, no food for one day, 24-hour period. And it's the only command to fast in Scripture. It was referred to as the fast in Acts chapter 27 and verse 7, for example. And there are other scriptures that we could look at. But we have a number of other topics, things that we believe, and I'll just go through them here. Feast of Tabernacles, Last Great Day, New Moon, Sin, Redemption, the topic of sanctification, subject of anointing, tithing, the adversary, mortality, the body of believers, and love. And, it's fitting to, I think, end with love because it encapsulates everything prior to that. And we don't have enough time to go through all of these, but wanted to give a sense of maybe someone that's new, what we believe in, what we're about, what kind of lifestyle we're living. It's in accordance to Yahweh's way, and when we look through Scripture, it talks about living that way, about following the way. It's Yahweh's way. It's the way that the Messiah followed. And all we're doing is living and walking in His footsteps. We're learning along the way. We stumble, we fall at times. Yahweh's there to help us get up and to brush ourselves off and to continue on. We don't give up. We don't go, well, I'm just going to go ahead and go to that party I heard about. I hear it's going to be real wild, and that's really where the fun is. I don't need any of this. The whole world needs this, and it will be enforced in the coming kingdom. We read that Yahshua is going to put down all rulers and rulership. He is going to be setting things up for Yahweh to come down, and it is going to be near perfect when Yahweh comes, if not perfect. It has to be because He is perfect and He cannot be amongst evil. And so that in itself, when you have Yahweh's Spirit, you do not partake of society's evils because it's just it's something that it's like those magnets. You try to put them together and they repel. You can flip them around and try to get them to attach, but you can get them to where they repel. And I think that's what's going on today. Yahweh's Spirit is helping us to be repelled from evil. And it's something that is certainly needed. So why should we review what we believe? Well, so I think in part so we can have an answer for those that ask. Because we're strange people in this world. We don't act like the world. We don't partake of the world in the way the world, in the actions that they live. And people think it's strange. Well, why don't you, come to the bars or, whatever it is that they're wanting us to go to? Maybe we have a coworker that thinks maybe we should go to his bachelor party or something. Just the wording kind of gets you to know what's going to go on. And so these type of things are going on, but we're not to be partaking of them. So let us get ourselves in line with Yahweh's word if we're not already. And let us keep in line with it to where we are heading in the straight and narrow path that leads into eternity. Because Yahweh is not going to lead us elsewhere. If we're following His Spirit, if we're wanting to do His will, we'll do what His Son did. And one of the things that we're told is that we need to be willing to give up our lives for one another. And that's a new commandment. It's new in the sense that I don't think people were told to give up their life for one another. But Yahshua gave up His life for us. So I don't think we're necessarily told to do it literally, but I think in a sense, I mean, if it comes down to that, maybe that's what we'll need to do. Times will be getting tougher than they are now. I think especially for this country with the economic times that we are seeing. But, you know, these things will come, and we're told the end from the beginning or out of the beginning. So we know that Yahweh is going to take care of things, and those that love Him will be taken care of, and that things will work out for the good. But it's for those that love Yahweh, it's for those that will do His will, it's for those that will live by the fundamentals of faith, it is for those who will submit to His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, in Messiah Yahshua.